Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And tonight, I have another great guest. She's got a lot to talk about, and we're going to be talking about mostly Carol herself. So, Carol, welcome to the show.
Hello, Nancy. Thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Great. You're very welcome, Carol. Now, Carol, what I'd like for you to do right off the bat is to kind of tell the listeners who you are, a little bit about you, and tell them a little bit about what got you going on your journey, and then I'm going to ask you some questions.
Okay. Well, you know, I've always had gifts, but I never really pursued them or really much about them. And then in 1993, I was living in Germany with my military husband and two children, and he came home and so we went to Colorado. And I just had that really strong feeling in my stomach that if I went to Colorado, my life was going to change. So I pretty much pursued him to, please don't take me there, you know. I didn't want to go. And what happened was is after I got here to Colorado, my life started changing. And I my spirit started awakening up. And what I ended up having, a lot of things just started happening to me, and my gifts started getting sharper. I was being able to see things and hear things a lot stronger. The archangels started coming in and really guiding me. And I was led to different healers and teachers to find out what was happening, what was going on. And then, long story short, I left a 20-year marriage on this because my spirit was waking up. And as things started happening more and more to me, I came to a realization that I heard the word earth angel. And in my studies, and as I was, when I heard this, I just had that deep knowing again. I was like, that was me. I'm an earth angel. And, but I didn't know what in the world to do with this. So, in 2002, Serene Virtue, out with a small little book called Earth Angel. And in this book, I was really excited when this book came out. And, because I thought, you know, here, I already know this, but I needed some answers. And so when I finally got this book, it was pretty much just confirmation for me of everything. It gave me a lot of clues and things, descriptions of some of the things that was going on in my life, that had happened in my life all those years, that pretty much confirmed that I was an earth angel. So this was just the start of knowing, because then it left me with a big question. What do I do now?
Yep. And what did you decide?
Well, like I said, my angels, the archangels are the ones that were really with me. I work with Archangel Michael mostly, but Archangel Gabriel and Archangel Uriel and Archangel Raphael were all four with me. And what's really funny is my first set of angel cards that I had gotten, I opened them up, and I had already been talking to them, and I opened these cards up, and I pulled four cards, and all four cards were all four archangels. So it was confirmation that they were with me, and I was hearing correctly. So what happened is that set me on a journey of a lot of self-discovery. And
which I think is real important because, Carol, you know, a lot of time people have some of the same emotions, some of the same feelings that you're talking about, but yet they don't quite know what to do or how to follow them. And I mean, it's really good that you follow them because a lot of people think that they're crazy or, you know, somebody's, you know, in their mind they're just playing a game with themselves, and they really aren't. I mean, it's really going on. Don't you think that that's true?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I had those feelings too, you know, those thoughts, like, because I had no clue what was going on with it. You know, before my soul started basically waking up before I actually left my marriage. And, you know, you hear people in their marriage say, you know, I rolled over one day and I didn't know my husband or who was this person sleeping next to me. But that literally happened to me. I literally did not know who he was because I had thought, what is happening to me? What's going on with me? And so I had those questions too. And then, but like I said, as things kept happening, I kept getting clear, and all my chakras were all in alignment. And as I was learning about chakras, they sent me on a journey of the different psychics. And I had never been into a psychic in my entire life. The first time I had ever went to a psychic was after I was divorced, and all this was happening to me. I drove an hour because someone had told me about one. It was at a Renaissance Festival, and I walked around the Renaissance Festival just looking at her and looking at her, and I could not go to her because I was so frightened. I went home. The next morning, I got up out of bed again, drove all the way back down there, paid to go back in, and went to see her. And I could not tell you what she even said to me, but the only thing I knew was that I had to get over that fear because I had no – the word scared me to death.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people go to psychics all the time. I mean, I do intuitive counseling. So, I mean, I know, and people come, you know, and yet they are kind of afraid of what they may hear, or it may not be what they want to hear, you know, and it's real important that if people are going to go see a psychic, that they actually go with an open mind, not fear, because you're not going to hear all the messages that are given to you. And then, after a psychic has talked with you, it's real important to know that you still have to do your part. Because a lot of people assume if they go to a psychic and a psychic tells you something, it's carved in stone, and that's the way it's going to be. And that's not really the way it is it?
That's a great point to bring up, because no, it is not. You know, we are given the, like you said, they have to do the work to move to that next level. But the thing is, don't try to force things. Get on with your life. You're getting the answers, and it's basically giving you confirmation, helping you, guide you, put you on a path that's going to be best for you. But if you don't follow through, then your life is not going to change, and you're going to continue up with the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very important, because I've had so many people that I have done before, because I am a psychic now. You know, I do angel readings. I communicate with loved ones, and I also have a team of ascended masters that I work with as well. And many times people will come to me, I will give them the information, and they'll come to me later and say, you know, why didn't I listen to you? 3 years has gone by that I didn't pay attention, because they didn't do the work that they came here to ask me to give them. The ones that have listened, and even though they didn't like the information, they, because sometimes they'll give you information that you're really not wanting to hear. I mean, it's not bad. It's not negative. It's just the information that we are hearing. And the ones that have, I get letters and emails all the time. Thank you. Thank you. My life is changing. You know, I've had girls that are young women that have been getting married, other ladies, you know, career-wise, things like this is all happening for them because it followed through. They were open with the information, and they used it.
Mm-hmm. But it's likewise. There are also many, many psychics out there that are not really good, and they are not for your best interest, and all they want to do is charge you a lot of money. Go ahead.
That is very true, too. I totally agree with you that, you know, I ran across that. A lot of people, before I started doing the work, my angels and my masters really worked with me, because that was one of the things that was very important to me, is that I wanted to be able to truly have an understanding, truly know and go with the information before I really was able to give it to other people. And it took me a long time to charge for that. I had people that had come to me, and they told me, and they paid way much more than I'm charging. And my readings are not cheap. But they've been to famous psychics that have given them information. I had a man that I was seeing, and he had came to me. He had seen someone, and I think she was like $3.75 an hour,
mm-hmm.
and or half hour, something like this. And he had told me that she had told him five people were going to die in that year, and his father was one of them that was going to be within a week after I met him. And I looked at him, I said, "No, your father's fine." And I said, "Has anybody in your life passed?" He goes, "Well, no." And this was already in August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, you have to, and I asked my angels about that. I'm like, why didn't a lot of these people give these other people that I've ran across the right information?
Mm-hmm.
And what I was told is that not everyone can truly see and hear. So you really have to do your research and listen and find out who, and listen to your own intuition, listen to your own body. If it feels right, then do go for it.
Mm-hmm. Which is, again, real important for people, and I tell them that all the time. Now, let's talk a little bit about your book. It's called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, Being an Earth Angel. So, first, where could they get your book at?
Well, they can get that on Amazon. They can go to my website. I have a little Amazon store. They can order it from my website.
Okay,
CarolGuy.com, or they can get it right off of Amazon themselves.
Okay. So, when you wrote this book, how long
mm-hmm.
ago was that?
Well, I started writing in about 2005. I remember my angels tell me that I was going to write, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not a writer. I can't even speak. You know, there's no way. But I just started writing, and this book, like I said, when I read Doreen's little book, Earth Angel, this gives you different characteristics and different descriptions of what an earth angel is. And there's different types of earth angels. I am an incarnated angel, and there's several of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I started writing from when I was a little girl, because one of the things the angels had told me was that to have me write, because it was time for me to come out of the closet. Boy, was I fighting that, too. I did not want to come out of the closet and tell anybody this. I was like, they're going to lock me up. They're going to think I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just started writing. It started happening about 2002, because not only that, my children were older. When my daughter graduated from high school, her father was still in the military, and he was going to Korea. And she got out of high school. She really didn't know what she wanted to do, so she decided to go to Korea with him. And she was 19, and then my son, he was living with me, and he was 15. But I could see his soul, because I have the ability to see what's going on with on the deeper soul level of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not just on the illusion of what's in front of me, but what's going on with the soul path, what the soul purpose is, what the life lessons that you need to learn to get over these obstacles. So I could see that he was struggling, and so I decided to send him, that I needed to send him to Korea with his father as well. And in this time, and it was very difficult, because my children had never been away from me, and they were like my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived for them. And so it was really difficult. All of a sudden, you know, here I am. All of these things are happening to me, and my children are, you know, the side of the world for the first time in our lives. And I had never been alone in my life, because I got married when I was very young. And in this time, then I completely, completely opened up. And this is where pretty much was isolated for the whole time that they were gone. It was a little over a year. I lived in a high state of this bliss and enlightenment that people talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear the trees. I lived in paradise. I didn't have to travel to India. I didn't have to travel to Egypt or anywhere to get this. It just happened. It started happening to me right in my own backyard. Animals started showing up. I could hear the ants. I could hear, you know, the rabbits would dust would be in my yard. And one of my ascended masters is St. Francis. And I've had people over the years tell me, you know, every time you're around, the animals show up. And it's like, yes, because St. Francis was known for the animals. And so the animals come always around me. So in this time, I lived in this high state, and they just was pouring information into me. And like I said, I never heard anything about the illusion. You know, and here I was living this. I remember going to a park, and I'm in the middle of the city in Denver, and I'm looking around, and I could see the illusion. And I was like, at first I was kind of angry, because I'd never heard about it, and I was asking God, I'm like, are you playing a game with us? What's happening here? What's going on? I would look at people, and I could see their souls weren't even in their own bodies, even though they're moving, breathing, and doing activities. But their souls weren't even in their bodies, and it was like I was seeing dead people when their souls were hanging outside their bodies. I could see all of this, and this bliss. I could I, like I said, I was pretty much isolated because going out just to the grocery store, the energy level in the mass consciousness of the world was devastating. I would come home 20, 30 minutes later and I'd just curl into a ball because my physical body could not handle the energy out there in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pretty much just stayed to myself through this time. And then in 2003, it was April of 2003, I had received a really profound message from an angel, Elijah. And he had came to me and he had told me that I was to awaken and call forth all other earth angels and that I would be guided and loved. And so shortly after that, in May of 2003, my children came back from Korea and I felt like I was completely thrown back over the fence into mass consciousness. And the veil was closed and here I was, completely awakened. Completely, and I was so lost. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with all of this in this world?
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing during all of this time, and my book is pretty much basically about, it's a story. It's a story about my life when I was a little girl, how the first angel appeared to me when I was 7 years old, because my sister and I were being molested by our babysitter's husband. And the angel had came to me and asked me, told me to take my little sister home, to use the key my mother had given us, that I was old enough now.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes through my whole life from when I was little until the awakening of this journey. And it shows how I lived pretty much a normal life. You know, I went through this teenage rebel stage. I was a military wife, all of these things. And then all of a sudden, you know, my whole soul and my life changed. So this is the first book of the journey. There's actually three more books already written, ready to go with this.
Good. You know, that's great. Now, because a lot of the story that you're talking about kind of also blends right in with myself, except I was always protected by my angels when I was little, so they would not let me actually tell people what I knew. And they didn't mm-hmm. let me say anything until we were going to be in a very bad car accident where we all could have died, but we didn't because... You know, it wasn't anybody's time. You know, so they showed the whole thing to me. But that was the first time, and I was like a teenager at that time. But my stuff started when I was six when I had a freaky accident. But, you know, even with that, a lot of the people that I talk to, that I interview, we all kind of have some of the same stories, you know. They may not be exactly the same, but they fall right into the very same pattern. You know, I was protected really very well, and was always protected, which is a good thing, because not everybody is. You know, some people start their awakening, and it's like they go crazy because it's like, okay, well, I'm telling this, and I'm telling that, and everybody looks at you like you're weird or you're strange. See, mm-hmm. and I never did that. I didn't have the opportunity to do it, thank God. You know, mm-hmm. but I think it's important, Carol, for people to understand as they are starting to open up, wake up, that they don't feel like they're all alone. You know, that's why a show like this one and many of the other shows are important, because they have people like you that they can then talk with and find out, you know, what they should or shouldn't do, or how they should handle it or how they shouldn't handle it. And I think that's very, very important for people to know that. You know, so let's give out your website and let's give out the name of your book again, and I'm going to ask you some more questions.
Well, my website is carolguy.com, and that's carolguy.com. And the name of my book is called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, Being an Earth Angel. You know, and I get a lot of people that have read this. I've had men read, a man in Canada just emailed me just recently and said, you know, I finally got a chance to read your book, and I thought I would just read a few chapters, you know, because I had some free time. And he says, every time I try to put it down, you know, I had to keep picking it back up because he wrote to me that we had a lot of things in common. I've had, you know, other people read it and say, you know, yeah, they could relate to me as the wounded little child, you know, being molested. They related to me as the rebel teenager. They related to me as the military wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they and this tied into with their own awakening and their journey too. And that's why the angels had me to write this book about my story, because it's not a tool to say, you know, do this, do that, do that. It's a story to share with you so you know that you're not alone, that these things could happen to anyone. You don't have to be somebody special, or, you know, live up in the Himalayas for things to happen to you. It can happen to you right here. And with our energy shift that's happening right now in this world, more and more people are going to be awakened, and they're going to be, it's a different feeling. It's mind-blowing at times.
Mm-hmm. And it is.
So it is. And so this way they can relate, to have a story to relate to, because like I said, this is just the first part, and I've got 3 more books that's even further deep into the journey that this book. But this is to show people that, you know, how I was protected. I was always protected. I may have went through lots of struggles, but I was always protected. You know, the rebel teenagers, you know, would tell the angels, I remember them saying, you know, I'm not doing that,
uh-huh.
you know, and you can't stop me. And mm-hmm. it's like, okay, but you know what? They still protected me, even though I went through a lot of things.
Well, see, and I really think that's very important, Carol, for people to know that the angels are there protecting them, and everybody does have to complete some form of their own journey. I mean, your story is, again, a lot like mine. I didn't want to write my book because I thought, well, who wants to read my story? You know, it's just a story. But I argued with the angels for a very long time, and they wouldn't let me rest. So, I eventually wrote the book, and it's called Raised by Angels. And the thing is, it's, again, helping people to understand that they truly are not alone with their journey, but they just have to reach out and, you know, search for the people that's going to feel the best for them. Because, again, not every psychic, not every intuitive, not every whatever you want to call them is going to, you know, be for, you know, everybody. There are certain people who are truly designed to help certain people. And
absolutely.
When you're feeling comfortable with somebody, that's who your own intuition is telling you to go to and to talk with, because something is going to be helping you with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
so your story is really good because, again, mine was written so people also know that they're not alone. You know,
mm-hmm.
and the most important books is to use what you have gone through, what I have gone through, so people do understand that although, you know, we have this, you know, this ability and they have this ability, we're human too, because not
mm-hmm.
everybody looks at us like we're human. Have you found that to be true?
You know, I do, you know, and we are human, and no one should ever be, I don't care if it's the Dalai Lama himself, we should
mm-hmm.
put no one on a pedestal.
Right.
You know, we are all here to our own journey, our own soul's growth. We're here to raise the consciousness of this world because, you know, our prayers as a conscious community of people in this whole entire world, a nation, is being heard. Our prayers are being heard because things have not been working.
Mm-mm.
And so, you know, the reason why, one of the understandings that my masters had given me, because Jesus is a part, I have a team of 6 masters, and
mm-hmm.
Jesus is one of them, Buddha, St. Francis, St. Germain, Mother Mary, and Kuan Yin. And when they come to me, I literally cannot get out of bed. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm so dizzy and nauseous when they come as a group together. And what their understanding is, back when Jesus was here, we are so stuck on this story that was written not by Jesus' own hand and his
mm-hmm.
own voice.
Right.
It was written by others. And we're so stuck in this story. And I'm not saying anything against the story. It's just that there's been things that's been misled. And so the reason why they told me to write my stories, because I actually thought, you know, let me get a ghostwriter or somebody, you know, because I can't write. And they said, no, this has to be written in your own hand. This has to be written from you. Yes, we'll get an attitude later, but this
right.
has to be written from you, because this is your story. And many of the stories back in the biblical time, and, you know, and I'm not saying anything against the Bible or anything like this, but a lot of things, you know, just for example, I could tell you something, then you could pass it on to someone else, and you know how it rolls down,
oh, yeah.
the domino effect, then the whole story's changed
mm-hmm.
by the time it gets to the last domino. And so things happen, and so if we write our own stories, and then we have the truth. This is the truth of how my life has been from my perspective, my vision, my journey, my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else, their stories are different. And you know, we love stories. We still have that little inner child and stuff. We're still talking about all this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why.
Go ahead.
No, and just that is the understanding, that the reason why they wanted me to write my own story.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody, Carol, not just you, not just myself, but everybody has truly a very unique story if they would just sit down. And if not even if they're going to write it for somebody else, but to write it for themselves so they can sit and honor themselves and see who they really are. Because most people, not a lot of people, we'll put it that way, really don't have a clue who they are. And they're just waiting for somebody to tell them who they are.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's why we're here. We have all been called to awaken and to come out of our own spiritual closet so that way we can help give the guidance to other people, too, to help them with theirs. You know, we're talking about stories. You know, I wrote my story, but I don't live my... And I had to go through the healing process before I ever really started teaching anybody. I had to go through the healing process and go and dig deep down inside and pull out all those old stories, all those old wounds, and heal them. So that way I can talk to you about my story. I can share with you about my story, but I'm not stuck in my story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing. And on March 22nd, I just finished a six-week class, a teleclass with a group of people on rewriting your story, because that what we need to do is we have to get that story out, write it out, all the yuck, write it, and then start recreating and writing a new story. And so on March 22nd, I'm actually starting a new teleclass, but this isn't just a new a teleclass. I am actually working with each person one-on-one as well, the angels and I, because having personal coaching alone is so important. You know, I've been through teleclasses. You listen to the call. Then you hang up. You got some homework to do. You may do it. You may not. You know, but you don't talk to anybody for another week.
Right.
And personal coaching and is very, very important. And I didn't have a lot of that. All my teachings. I went to different psychics, you know, just to experience of what they did, different healers to see and learn. But I didn't have one teacher. I worked with Sonia Chiquette Senior. I don't know if you know who Sonia Chiquette is. She's an author with Hay House. She's a psychic. But I worked with her mother for 3 months on the Course of Miracles, and when this back in 2003 for a little bit. But she's been basically my only teacher. All of my teachings have come from the other side. You know, they might guide me to books or something, but that's confirmation.
Well, those are you really the best teachers anyway. And again, everyone can actually, you know, let them come in if they just trust it and believe it. Now, you're doing something also, Carol, that I am doing, and I don't know if you know about this, but I am moving to New Mexico at the end of this week, end of this month, and I'm moving down there to open a school. It's called the School of Now, and it's for children that really do not fit the bell curve or the ones that have been diagnosed and labeled with ADD, ADHD, that really should have alternatives before they're put on drugs. And you also are trying to do something like that, too. Is that...
Right, right. Well, the angels had guided me back in... This was in 2003, too, to open up a home for young people, more like teenage, 17 and up, to help them to... so that would not... come and go to school and learn, but also to live it, to learn to live that simple life, to learn to sharpen their own intuitive skills, find out what their gifts truly are, and let's work with them so they can go out and do what they came here to do, too. And so I'm working on that as well to help get this going, get this open, so that way we can... That's what we need to do. Is we're trying to clear the path for all the younger children, too. Because the kids that have been coming in for the last 10 years or so are extremely powerful.
Yes,
you know,
they are.
They're more powerful than we are, you know. And so we're clearing the path, opening up that doorway so that they can come in and truly do the work that they were meant to do.
Yeah, and that is, in my opinion, real important, considering that the phase that the world is in today.
Yeah.
What do the angels Carol tell you about 2012?
You know, I never studied 2012. And what my journey is I get the messages. Like I said, my teachers are all from the other side. They give me messages. Then they guide me to a book or someone to give me confirmation of what I've already heard. Mm-hmm. And so I started hearing 2012 and stuff like this. So I started like, okay, what's this about? So I found out, you know, it's about the Mayan calendar. But back in March of 2008, I was actually in St. Louis with my mother. And I was sitting there watching TV. I don't watch TV, but that's what my mother did. So I would sit and watch with TV in the evening with her so I could be with her. She's 75, and spend time with her. And we were sitting there watching Wheel of Fortune, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, my God, something's happening to me. And my angel said, just let it be. Just be gentle. Just breathe. So I sat there for this half hour while this process was happening to me. And what was happening is I could feel every single thing inside of me breaking up into little pieces. And once it was over, I went and took a shower, and then my emotional body took over. I started crying. It's like, oh, my God, what happened to me? And what it happened to me was my DNA just changed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the 2012 as well. So for about a week, I couldn't get on the computer, couldn't get on the phone. All I knew was to be gentle with myself and to do nothing. And so I pretty much just laid and did nothing. I didn't want to do anything. And I had told a friend about this. You know, I'm not going in through all the details at this moment with the process, but I told a friend of mine who's a school teacher. He goes, Carol, that sounds like the process of a butterfly. And I said, well, you know, I don't know this. Tell me. And he explained to me, and it was exactly the same process I had went through. In August of 2009, I had moved back, or actually in April of 2008, I had moved back to Denver. And in August of 2008, I ran across the gentleman, Dr. Stephen Harefield, and he had wrote a book called The Metaphysical Interpretation of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a chapter in his book that says, when your DNA changes, it's like the process of a butterfly.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. Him, I have talked with him, and it amazed me because him and I have a lot of the same thoughts going on all the time. And it's like, wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
In December of 2008, I was out, and my masters all came at once, and I knew I had to get home right away. And I laid down, and what they did is they went in, and they reconstructed inside of my body. And I was asking him why, and it was because they said that way I could hold a higher vibration. Because what this 2012 is coming in is what they have guided me to work with is that it's the raising of the Atlantis consciousness. People have been looking for years for the rise of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Not a place.
No.
The rise in Atlantis consciousness. And this energy that is happening now is shifting. So by December 2012, this is all going to be complete.
Mm-hmm.
And so more and more people are going to be waking up, you know, and so they've really had me, Stephen and I have had a lot of conversations about this too, but it's the rise of this consciousness that's happening. And and it's a higher level energy vibration.
Mm-hmm. What happens to me a lot, Carolyn, is kind of strange, is like I'll be asleep, and all of a sudden my internal body, not the outside, my internal body starts vibrating, and it's the strangest feeling.
Well, they're pushing energy through you. You know
that. Yeah, and it's just strange, because it wakes me up from, from asleep, and it's like everything inside me is just vibrating. It's like, yeah, okay, I know what's going on here, just keep going.
Yeah.
But it's just strange.
It is very strange, and sometimes they will push so much energy in me that I will curl up in a ball because I'm so nauseous. But what they're doing is they're building up our internal bodies so we can hold those higher vibrations, because our physical body cannot. A lot of my guides have to stay at a distance, because if they come too close, I am so nauseous, so sick, and it's because the too much energy, and our physical bodies can't handle it. So what they're doing with all of us light workers at night, they're working on us. They're pushing that energy through to get so that it builds up and we can hold those higher vibrations.
And it really, so if anybody out there who's listening is going through this, you all have to know that you're okay. There is nothing wrong with you, but it is a really strange feeling.
It is a very strange feeling, and it can be, you know, it's hard. It's not an easy process. But the thing is, you know, you're not alone, and they are preparing you. You know, when I told Dr. Stephen Harefield and another friend of mine about, I don't know, they reconstructed my body, you know, what's going on? And they're like, oh, what a great gift. You were just given a great gift. And I'm like, okay, explain, you know, in a little bit more detail here. And it is a gift. It is a gift because they are helping you to raise your consciousness. And the more this planet rises, the more the energy levels we're all going to have, and our bodies need to be prepared for that. And so even by exercising and eating healthy is very, very important right now, because that's what they had told me, not just for your looks and not for health reasons, but for other, the spiritual side of things too, so you can hold these vibrations.
And again, I mean, it's coming, and people, some people, I don't know if they're going to do okay, but others are going to do fantastic if they just allow it. So it,
right.
It should be pretty interesting. Now, the animal communication and the animal stories that you have on your website, they were pretty interesting. So can you talk a little bit about your idea of the animal communication and what happens as animals come into your life?
Right, you know, animals are the most fantastic messengers you could possibly have. It's not just angels. They'll send you, literally, they'll send you either the live animal. If the live animal's showing up, they're really trying to get your attention. But, you know, they can come in your dreams. They can come in, you know, you might be able to see one on TV a lot. But the animals are just most fantastic messengers to bring you messages. They're here to help you. You know, people think that humans are more higher consciousness than animals, and I just so disagree, because they're so in alignment with truth, and they can hear, and they're here to help us. And so, you know, animals are there to really bring you messages. So if an animal will show up like 3 or 4 times, pay attention. You know, it could be, let's say, a hawk. You know, you may see a hawk in the sky, or maybe you see the seahawks. You know, and it keeps, the word hawk just keeps standing out to you. Or somebody, you could hear somebody in the grocery store saying, oh, did you see the hawk last night or something? You know, pay attention, because those animals are there. That animal is trying to bring you a message, and they will guide you to give you the direction, or they will help give you the vision that their power will help with, too. I have 2 power animals, which is crow and owl. Owl is really strong in the vision, where the clairvoyant stuff comes in. So when owl is around me, I always know that to pay attention to what's happening right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and crow is one of my other power animals, which is shape shifting. You know, I'm able to shape shift into different scenarios in life. And I can, and so he's here to guide me through these different times. But other animals can come into your life too. You know, I have a great story about a grasshopper. You know, I was trying to make a change, but I was holding on so tightly about making this change. It was career wise, and I kept hearing let go, but I wasn't. I was hanging on, and I kept seeing this vision of me hanging from a cliff, and. You know, I kept trying to jump up, and as I was jumping up, I was actually jumping out, and I kept hitting myself on this cliff. This is the vision I kept having. And so one day I was driving, and a grasshopper jumped in my car. And he was sitting there on the passenger seat, and then he jumped. I'm like, okay, what do you want? And so then he jumped in the back window, in the rear, the back rearview window. And I was paying attention. I was looking at him through my mirror. And what he was doing is he kept jumping out. And he kept hitting himself where? Right? He could see what he wanted on the outside. He's seen the earth. He's seen what he wanted. But he kept jumping out and hitting himself on the glass. And I'm like, okay, I keep jumping out. I'm hitting it. I see what I want. I see the message you're telling me. And so then next I know he jumps out. And I had the window down on the passenger side as I was driving, and he's sitting right there looking out the window. There it is. The door's open. The window's open. Go for it. You know, and then all of a sudden he was gone. So I kept thinking about that. So the next morning I got up and I took my daughter's little dog, Pugsley, who's a little pug, and he's the father of my dog, and took him for a walk at 6:30 in the morning. It's dark outside, and we're walking through the town, and I looked, and right there underneath the streetlight was a grasshopper. It was jumping up, and all of a sudden, I got it. I got the message, and the message was, instead of jumping out and hitting myself on the side of this cliff of going after what I wanted, I needed to jump up, grab hold. And when I did that, that vision changed for me. All of a sudden, I saw the vision again. I jumped up, and I saw a man's arm come down and pull me back up. Mm-hmm. And so that was a great message saying, you know, trust, go for it. Jump up, take that leap, because grasshoppers leap, but they jump up. They don't jump out. They never jump backwards, so don't go backwards.
Yeah.
So it was a great story, but animals are there to, if you just pay attention, there's a lot of great books out there on how to, you know, if an animal comes into your life. I've got 60 or more stories written that I'm working on putting into a book as well of different animals that have come to me. And the first thing, you know, you can get the books that are out there on animals, but the best thing to do is if you can, take a moment and see if you can ask the animal, what is it you're here to show me? You know, what is the message are you here to bring me? And if you just listen, then you may get it. If you don't, check the books, the different books that are out there, and maybe that will trigger something. But one thing you have to do is you got to truly, truly be honest with yourself about what's going on with you internally. And when you do that, you'll get the message. You know, then grasshopper left, you know, just like a mouse. If you have a mouse in your house, don't worry about trying to kill it. Just try to get the message, and if you get the message, the animal will go. They leave. They don't want to be there.
No, they don't. Michael's birthday, your little pug, April 15th, is my mother's birthday.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's my buddy. I named him after Archangel Michael and Angel Uriel, and with my last name being Guy, his initials are Mug.
That's good.
You know, and the angels helped me to save his life, too, which was a great message for all people with dogs and cats. You know, Michael, when he was 4 years old, was choking on a tooth toy. And you can read this on my website at carolguy.com. And anyways, we had taken him to the hospital, the emergency room, and the first place we went to, they basically told me to put him down. And if he made it through the day, the night, that maybe I could give him to Pug Rescue because I didn't have the funds at the time. And the angels kept saying, get him out of here, get him out of here. And so I asked him for him back, and his, you know, his little eyes, little pugs got those eyes, and they just like tear your heart out. And I could just hear him saying, Mommy, help me. He couldn't breathe because it was stuck in his esophagus. Mm-hmm. And angels told me to take him to another place, and they told me that it would dissolve. So I took him to another hospital. They were wonderful. They grabbed him. They were willing to work with me, everything. So his life. And sure enough, they couldn't pull it out, so they had to push it out of his esophagus, and the doctor said, it'll probably dissolve. And I said, that's exactly what the angels told me. But if I would have listened to the first place, where a lot of people, when your animal's suffering, those are your babies. They're just like your kids, mm-hmm. You know. And you need to really stop out, get a step out of that emotion and listen. Is this the right thing to do? Because we are so quick to put them down. And, you know, and if we would just stop and listen, you know, and have faith that God brought them into this world, God will take them out when it's their time. Put humans down.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you totally, Carol. People, when they listen to their first gut feeling, they're usually going to get the right answers anyway. It's when they sit and they try to debate it or try to fit it logically that just doesn't quite work, because really, logic and what we do doesn't go together very often, if ever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and people just, they kind of need to know that. So, Carol, give out your website again and the name of your book again, please.
It's carolguy.com, and it's called Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet, Being an Earth Angel.
Now, do you already have the titles for your other books?
I do. Well, see, when I started writing this first book, I was down in Texas helping my daughter, and there's a story about my granddaughter on there in the angel stories as well, how I was told about her and stuff, and you can find that story. But I went down there to help her through the pregnancy and to the birth, and I thought, okay, I'm going to finish this book before I leave here. So on January 6th, I finished the book. January 7th, I flew back to Denver in 2005. So I got it finished, and so I found an editor, and I had written so much, we broke it down to two books. So the second book is already written. It's called The Journey of an Earth Angel. And the third one is about the enchantment of an earth angel. And the fourth book, we're still working on the title, but pretty much about living in the arms of God as an earth angel.
Okay, now do you know when your other ones are going to come out so people can get them?
No, I just came out with this one first, and I haven't yet, they haven't given me a date yet of or when I should start really pushing to get the second one out. But it is already written and to go. So the angels give me the word of, okay, now it's time.
That's kind of neat. Have you noticed that your daughter or your granddaughter has some of the same abilities?
My granddaughter does, yes. I was foretold about her coming, and I actually met her before she came here. And she, when I got married, I met my husband when I was 15. And we got married when I was 17, and I wasn't pregnant. I just, you know, make that clear here. But I got married early, and his grandmother, when I met it at 15, she had already passed in a car accident, and never met her. And so when I found out my daughter was going to have a baby, she didn't know. The angels had told me she was going to have a baby, and she's like, no, we're going to wait. We're not even going to get married back from Iraq because he's military, too. And I said, no, sorry. she's coming. And so they decided to get married, and they're like, no, we're not going to have a baby. We're going to wait until he comes back from Iraq. I'm like, he's coming. This was in September of 2003 when I found out that she was coming. And they're like, no, we want a boy. And I'm like, sorry. I asked the angels, I'm like, I want to meet my granddaughter. And sure enough, she came to me one night, and I got to meet her. And she's the spirit of my ex-husband's grandmother and that I had never met. And she is so gifted. She's so powerful. The angel sent me down to Texas after my daughter's husband went to Rack. And it was really, there's a picture of the this picture that the angels always give me. It's called the Guardian. It's an angel with two little grown boy walking across a wooden bridge. It's an old picture. And every time I need to know anything about my granddaughter, they bring that picture to me. And I have seen this picture in the most strangest and oddest places. And but they sent me down to Texas. I put everything in storage, left Denver, and was with my daughter through the whole entire pregnancy, through the birth. And then they also, when I came back to Denver, I told my angels, I said, I need to be with my granddaughter. So they arranged it for me to fly free for a year back and forth from Denver to be with my granddaughter. And she's so powerful. I remember we went to a mall one day and putting her down, we just put her down on the floor, and she's 1 year old and she's walking. And she's just talking and talking, and people were stopping and looking back there going, oh, my God, she's already started her mission. Mm-hmm. She came here to teach. They don't know what she's saying in the human voice because she's speaking baby, you know. But their spirits are stopping, and they're listening to this little baby. Mm-hmm. And it was just so powerful to see her at 1 year old. She was just jibber-jabbing, and they were all... You know, they were thinking, oh, what a cute little baby. But I could see her soul was teaching and preaching. And I'm like, wow, you don't know. Yeah, she's extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the kids are, like, really, really powerful. And, you know, that's why I think they're having such a hard time with our system that we have in our schools is why, you know, I decided to open up this different school, because not only will they learn their 1, 2, 3s and their ABCs, but they're also going to learn all the spiritual and metaphysical things that really they need to know, because they have it. They just need to know that it's okay to really have it and to be who they are. So that's what my, you know, my school is going to be all about.
I have I have about 8 children's stories already written too that I haven't gotten out there yet either. It's about the kids, because the kids that are gifted like this, there's no children's stories for them.
No.
And not really. There's like a handful, or maybe a handful compared to millions for the adults. And so I've got like 8 of them already too. And it's about, one of them is about clairvoyance, one's about clairaudio, clairsensis, and claircognate. And so those are just 4 of them, but I have several of them. And it's about the animals, communicating with the animals and stuff too.
And again, all of them are very, very important. I just, you know, people need to just kind of look at them, read them, and understand that they're part of all of it. All they got to do is just kind of go with it and let it happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because these kids all, they're like you said, they're going to be little rebels. They're not going to stand for the school system anymore.
No, they're not. No. I put it together because of my granddaughter, who was born on February 2nd, 2000. So she's a 222 baby. And she is here also to lead. And so she's had many, many problems because she's very, you know, very intuitive and very smart. And I don't really think that she knows, you know, how intuitive she is, because I really have not pushed anything with her. But she comes up with some of the neatest things, you know. And she's like 9 now. And so we're getting all ready to get ourselves going so we can get down there. And she's dying to help teach. That was her big thing. Can I help teach? Can I? It's like, yes, you can.
That's beautiful. That's going to be, I'd love to find out more about your school. Yes.
Yes.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Well, my granddaughter's 4 now. She has shown, she has been a really huge mentor for me. And it's been great, because, you know, because mentors can come in all packages.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And it's funny, because we look at the little ones and they go, well, they can't teach us anything. Huh, I got news for everybody. They are here to teach.
Well, you know, they're so open still. They came here to teach, and they're not going to close down. You know, many of us have closed down between the ages of 5 and 7. You and I apparently did not, and there's several of us that didn't. But a lot of people, that's what's happened to them. They closed down. But these kids will not close down.
Nope. They are going to be hurt no matter what.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Which is good, because we really do need that. I mean, the world needs, you know, some help right now, because they have not grown like, you know, the energy should have. And so it's going to be kind of like, you know, brought to us again and again until we finally get it right. And this is a time that we're getting it right. And people have to kind of understand that that energy is there, and they can't deny it any longer.
No, there's no burying anything. Anything that you've buried and you've not wanted to face and look at in any part of your life, well, right now it's going to be coming into your face, because right now that with the energy shifting, everything is coming up, and instead of running from it and pushing it down, it's time to embrace it, heal it, and get past it so you can move along with this energy shift, because it is happening.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good one, so it's like, again, don't fight it. Carol, one more time, give out your website and the name of your book. If you have a phone number that you want to give out, you can also give that out too.
Okay. Well, my website is carolguy.com, and you can pretty much contact me through there. I usually do have the first initial emails, which is carolguy@carolguy.com, so it's really easy. And my book is called Coming Out of Spiritual Closet of Being an Earth Angel, which is sharing the first part of my journey, and to let people know that, you know, a lot of times we look at when things are happening to us, that we say, the first question we ask is, why me?
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm nobody, you know, I've done these jobs, I've been a mother, I'm a housewife, I'm a military wife, things like this, why me? But this book is to share the story that it could happen to any of us.
And again, that Carol, I think, is a really, you know, pretty important statement, because it can happen to anyone and everyone. They just have to stay open and allow it. And even if they don't want to stay open and allow it, they still have their way of coming through and making you be aware of it anyway.
Absolutely. You know, I'm, you know, you can probably ask the angels. I'm the biggest rebel ever. They would tell me something. I'm like, no. You know, I'm actually 5 years old inside, because there would be times I'd sit on the floor and it's like kicking and screaming. I'm like, I'm done with this. And they're like, okay, you done yet? We're waiting. Come on. Because this is the thing that I've learned. You know, people say, well, you have will, you have free will and stuff like this. Yes, you do. But when it's your time and God calls, I'm going to tell you, you cannot hang up the phone.
No.
Because I have tried.
No,
and then just speed dial.
Yep, it doesn't work, let me tell you.
yeah, and when it's your time, because like I said, in Germany, when he said, I didn't really know how gifted I was or anything, when he came home and said, we're moving to Colorado, and I had that deep-rooted knowing, I just all I knew was that my life was about to change, and I just literally begged him, please, please don't take me here. But I couldn't explain it to him because I didn't know the depth. Mm-hmm. And when we got to Colorado, I got out of the car and I looked around and said, oh, please, God, don't do this to me. And I literally begged, you know. And but you know what? I couldn't stop the process. No matter how much I fought, all that did was just make it more difficult for my own self.
Yep. Yeah, it really does. You know, so people got to kind of let go and let it happen and just trust, because they're not going to misguide you. It's our logic mind that really does that misguiding.
Absolutely. You know, and trust is a huge, huge word here. You know, we come in this world trusting, and then the first thing we do, you know, as we're little kids, you know, I watch my granddaughter, you know, she wants a piece of candy, or she wants something cake, or she wants it her way. Well, she came in this world knowing that she could have anything she wanted. Mm-hmm. And then that first thing we do is say, no, you can't have that.
Yep.
No, you can't have that. You can't have it. So we start programming. No, you can't have this. So then we lose that trust. Mm-hmm. And so God knows, the angels know, the masters know that they have got to help us with trust. And, you know, they're very patient. You know, I throw a fit at my angels. I'm not really good anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. But I used to. I, you know, totally fought with them. But they always were patient enough to say, okay, you know, we'll keep helping you until you get it. They're there to help us to work on that trust, because they know that we are programmed not to, so we have to they're deprogramming us.
Mm-hmm. The beep says that there's somebody, I think, on the line, so let's find that out before we go. Is there somebody there? All right. I was just going to make sure that everybody's got CarolGuysWebsite.com, and Carol, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'd love to hear about your school, too. So get in touch with you.
All right. You take care, and thanks
Any
again.
Blessings to you.